Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Man, there always seems to be some type of chaos in Chicago Bears. It's always some craziness, bro. Like, oh yeah, we made a trade for Montez Sweat, right? And so that was a good thing. And Jalen Johnson requested a trade, which wasn't granted, which I knew wasn't going to happen. And then we had a running backs coach get fired for some HR. So it's been an eventful week, so I guess we'll talk about the Montez Sweat, man. The Montez Sweat trade. The Bears needed an edge rusher. We've been needed an edge rusher. We got an edge rusher. It looked like the draft class, the edge rushers, the top of the draft didn't look that great. There were no Khalil Macks in this draft. There were no Von Millers. So the Bears went out and did the next best thing and traded a second round pick for Montez Sweat. And some of the fan base is upset. Well, I mean, that's how it is, bro, because they still trying to work out a contract with Montez Sweat to extend him. If not, they can franchise tag him. But they got a lot of people upset. They mad that we tried to improve the team. How y'all feel about that?
I mean, shit, it was one of the best. It was the best move they could actually make. The reason why people were pulling for, you know, first initially I was pulling for Chase Young, but come to find out, Chase Young, it was 9 teams that were interested in Chase Young, and Chase Young failed all 9 physicals for those teams. So his medicals didn't check out. So, I mean, that's just the honest to God truth. His medicals did not check out. So with his medicals not checking out, you go with the next best thing. And the next best thing was Montez Sweat. And actually, Montez Sweat was the first best thing because Montez Sweat has played more games, has more sacks, more quarterback pressures, more tackles for loss, more forced fumbles than Chase Young. Chase Young is a name from Ohio State that everybody's caught up on, which is great. You want to be caught up on a name. I'm more caught up on results. And Montez Sweat results speaks volumes. So there was no Montez Sweat in the first round, let alone the second round. That's why you give up the second round pick for a Montez Sweat. Get the deal done. Everybody, shut the fuck up.
I think you're on mute, Dan. You're on mute. Yeah.
Yeah, same thought for me, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, he's there. His availability is much better than Chase Young's. Chase Young has spent a majority, well, half of his career, basically, injured and sitting out of games. So it is what it is. When he's there, he's able to produce, but how long will he be there, and what's the duration of it? If you're talking about signing a guy to an extended contract, what are you going to sign him for? You know, I've seen a couple of people, oh, we gave up a second-round pick for Montez, and they only gave up a third for Chase. And it's like, yeah, because like DeVore said, he failed all 9 physicals with teams that was interested in him. Nobody really wanted to take a chance. The 49ers are in a position where they can take a chance because across their defensive line, they're stacked. It's an embarrassment of riches. So they're in a position where, you know, hey, we can take a chance. If it fails, it fails. You know what I mean? But the Bears are not in that type of position. We need to take a chance on a player that has the potential and possibly can be here for a long period of time, and that is Sweat. Sweat is a beast, man. At the combine, he set the record for defensive ends, right? In the 40-yard dash. I think he ran a 4.41. It's outstanding.
Man, I didn't even know that. That's
you
great.
Know what I mean? Yeah, he set the record when he was when he came out at the combine. So, you know, this is a guy 6'6", 265, 270 pounds that can run like that. You know, long,
shit, he did. I'm looking at it now. 4.41
At defensive end, bro.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, that's sick.
How big is
so?
Yeah, you like 6'6", 260, bro. Ooh, yeah.
That's what you want. That's what you want. So I think it was a good move. I think it was the best move that they could possibly make, and I'm happy with it.
Yeah, man, it's a good move. Damn, I didn't know you ran a 4.1, 4.4, dude. Damn. He's fast as Justin, bro.
Yeah, just about,
that's,
yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Yep. That's crazy. No, like, I think it's a good move, like, because I was looking at the draft, because, you know, you got those two top picks, and I didn't see anybody worthy of drafting that edge rusher. So I was like, damn, like, that's a big need. Yeah. So I was like, you know, but that fills that need, so you ain't really got to go into the offseason really worried about that. So, and I'm fine with it, man. I think the contract could get worked out. I know you only can franchise either JJ or Montez, and I think one of them would get extended, one to get
JJ's getting franchised. I can tell you that now.
Yeah.
He's going to get franchised if he doesn't, you know, because, again, like, it's been too many reports coming out saying that JJ has been way off in his evaluation of himself. You can hear him speak. When you hear him speak, I'm the best corner in the NFL. Okay, you know, but this is the thing. I mean, you know, delusions of grandeur, as Dan likes to say, is delusional. However, you know, if he's saying that he's the best cornerback in the NFL, I can only imagine that his representatives are going to the table and saying he's the best cornerback in the NFL. He needs to be paid like it. Yeah. Cut the shit.
He's top 10. He's definitely top 10.
Yeah, he's top 10. Yeah. You know, and I think
he's around 6. I looked at him yesterday, and I think he's around 6 in my opinion.
But, you know, I mean, if we go over the numbers, though, and the numbers
yeah,
say,
but it's,
he bottom half. But, you know,
I can't evaluate it off of numbers. Yeah, right.
Those are his numbers, though. So I understand
that, but you can't base it solely off of his numbers.
Right.
Because Jair don't get a lot of picks either. Yeah, right. Jair don't get a lot of picks either.
No, we're not talking only about that, but his coverage rate. And they have him as like a 60-point something coverage.
Nah,
rate.
He's the best in the league right now this year.
So, no, I'm talking about the previous years leading up to this year. So, I mean, we can't go
up just
this year.
Well, you update your resume every year, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
What I did most recently is more indicative of who I am right now.
Yeah, and he's only 24. You also want to stay away from players in a contract year, you know. Like the my man Quinn, right, who does nothing, absolutely nothing years 1 through 3. Then contract year comes up. Now all of a sudden, oh, I got 18, 19 and a half sacks. Like, I don't care what you do the other 3 years, bro.
Okay. So here's my pushback on that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about JJ and you're talking about his coverage rate or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
Don't you have to factor in that he doesn't have a defensive line present?
Oh, yeah. You absolutely
got to factor that in, right? So, yes. So you can't expect a guy to have great coverage for 8, 9, 10 seconds back there. While a quarterback
Absolutely.
Bounces around and has no pressure on him.
Absolutely.
So it goes hand in hand with the defensive line. So you can look at JJ and you got to look at the tape and say, okay, what are we seeing on tape? Does he have coverage skills? Does he have ball skills, right? I think he has both. I think he's when he was drafted, he got drafted in the second round, and that was because of his injury.
And he was still
to
hurt.
His shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if he wasn't, all the scouts said he was a first round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I'm leaning heavily upon that. I think he's a good cornerback. I think he's around that 6 mark. And, you know, at this point in time, you know, when you have coverage cornerbacks and guys like that, I don't fault him for trying to push or drive his price up.
Yeah.
If you want to say you're the best, say you're the best. You know what I mean? If you go out there and you don't think you're one of the best, then it's a problem. You're going to get burnt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to have that mentality. So, you know, I don't
it's
fault
just,
him
it's
for
the irony
that,
of it is funny and all with, you know, 2 picks against Brian Hoyer. You know, it's like we coming off the Brian Hoyer game. But, you know, I understand JJ should get paid top cornerback type money. Fuck no. I'll give you about I'll give you anywhere between 13 to 15 million a year. I'll give you that. You're worth that. That's top tier. That gets you about, you know, that gets you about 5th or 6th best cornerback in the league type money, you know. But 20 million? Eat a dick.
13 and 15, you talking about somebody being $5-6 million more valuable than him? That's the way you got to look at it. So let's say you go split the difference. It's 14. The top cornerback's getting paid like 21 million. 21 million. So you're telling me he's $6, maybe $7 million, you know, less valuable than those, you know, Xavier Howard or
Yeah, he is.
No, I don't think so.
Wait, hold on, Dan.
Jalen Ramsey got burnt last year.
One second, Dan. We just said he was fifth and sixth. We said he was about sixth on the list of top cornerbacks in the league. So yes, so you get $6 million less than the top $1 million each spot.
Nah, bro, that's crazy.
But this is the thing with the pay. The reason why I don't get wrapped up in the pay, you know how it goes in the NFL. Let's say they make him the second highest corner in the NFL today. And a year from now, he's gonna be the seventh.
Four more corners pay more than him.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why me personally, I don't get caught up in that. Like I get why he wants to push it because the NFL, they always pushing for more money. So whether or not he gets paid, let's say they pay him 18, 19, and he's the number three corner. Bro, they're going to sign whoever, so-and-so go get an extension, so-and-so, and then he going to be the 10th highest paid corner. The NFL is just printing money, so I don't get too caught up in that because they're going to – somebody go overlap them anyway. This is just how it goes, bro. It's like with the quarterbacks. One guy gets paid, he's the highest paid quarterback in the history of the NFL. A month later, he's the third highest paid in the NFL.
It's like Dak Prescott, right?
it happens all the time, bro. So like, I don't get caught up in that. I'm just more the philosophy with the Bears. Keep your young talent, bro. Like, I'm okay letting the old guys go, letting the 30-year-olds go, but the dudes that are 24, 25 years old, bro, pay them, and they play well, pay them, because this is why we suck. Because we let these guys go, and then they go somewhere else, and then they go blow up, and then we sitting over here like, oh yeah, now we got to replace a corner. We got to see if Braxton Jones can come back, and he got, just like everybody else, he got like 8 games to prove himself to be a left tackle. If he not, you got to replace him. I hope people already like wrote him off. I hope he works out, bro. I hope he comes back and is a kick-ass left tackle, because that's another position I don't have to fill. I can go address something else. I hope, like, people ready to move on for Justin Fields. They got Caleb Williams. I hope Justin Fields balls out last game. Guess what? I don't need a quarterback.
Right.
Now I can go get Marvin Harrison Jr. I can go and pick, maybe there's a
three. But see, people don't think like that. Right, these people are so short-sighted. They don't think about the progression that it takes to be a top and a dominant player in the NFL. It takes time. It takes some progression to get there. One thing I will say about Jalen too is that, you know, in his press conference at the end, he placed the value that he has on himself. But he also said, and a lot of people glazed over it, they didn't even pay attention to it, but he said, you know, I'm not trying to break the bank, I'm not trying to reset the market or nothing like that. But I do feel like I'm worth a little bit more than what was offered. I'm cool with him saying that. It's just negotiations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have these knee-jerk reactions, and I just feel like it's negotiations, man. He's doing his due diligence as a guy in the NFL. You got to get top dollar for what you bring into the table. You know what I mean? If they overpay you, good. Because to be accurate, all of the NFL players are underpaid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So let's just be real. And that goes for the guys making $50 million like Pat Mahomes. He's still underpaid. Yeah. When you got a commissioner that's making $65 million, you're underpaid. You're underpaid.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. One of the things that was a glaring, like, just a glaring damn to me was the fact that they allowed him to go and seek a trade. And no trade was reached because, again, nobody else in the NFL thought that he was worth what he was asking. Contract-wise.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know. I think they didn't want to give up the first. Because the Bears are asking for a late first.
Yeah, is he not worth a late first?
Go ahead.
If he wants to be paid like the top corner in the league, is he not worth that?
I wouldn't pay him up. Dude, look, Montez Sweat was a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. They traded a second for him. Like, in NFL, you're never going to get the value back.
Well, you know, Paul said he wanted a late first.
It's rare, and let's just...
Oh, I'm sorry. Paul said he wanted a late first to a high second, which is up to number 35. He said he wanted that type of pick. He wanted that pick in compensation for Jalen Jones. No, and no team figured he was worth that. That's why he's still
a
Bear.
But once again, like what Roy is saying is that you're not going to get fair compensation for any trade in the NFL, right? Even Montez Sweat, he's worth more than a second round pick. What the Bears gave up?
And we gave up number. Number 35, right?
I don't know.
Number 35, our 35th pick in the second round for him. And that's what he was seeking to exchange that's what he was seeking in exchange for Jalen Johnson, was the 35th pick, you know, from first round all the way up to number 35. He wanted that in exchange, and no team was willing to give that.
But you got to understand, too, that this is part of negotiations, right? In my opinion, what Poles is doing, what Poles did, is smart. He made it.
Yeah, very smart.
Go seek a trade, but we're going to set the bar so high that no team is willing to go that high.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a, you know what I mean? If any team is willing to go that high, that means you have to re-sign Jalen Johnson,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If I give up a first-round pick or if I give up the 30th pick in the draft, I got to re-sign him. Otherwise, what did I do that for?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So no team is willing to go that high with a situation where you might have to franchise tag the guy,
mm-hmm.
right? No team's willing to go that high. So he set the bar high, and he basically said, okay, seek a trade, you know what I mean? But then he turned around and brought in Montez Sweat, and that was also a little piece of negotiation, too, to say, hey, I'm going to probably end up signing this guy before I sign you.
Yep.
So keep playing, come down on your price, or you get franchise tag. So now that's in Jalen's mind. Before, the franchise tag was probably not in his mind. Like, you know, I'm the only person they really got to sign right now. They're not really signing nobody else. Mm-hmm. They'll work with me. Now we got two guys that need contracts. We'll probably sign the guy who's
Webbing and walked off with your money.
Because we need that position,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback is less needy right now.
Yes, sir.
And they got a lot of young people.
Exactly.
They got young dogs behind them.
Stevenson. They got Smith. Exactly. They got Terrell Smith. Exactly. They got Kyler Gordon.
Absolutely. As they looking at it right now, it's like, look, once we generate pressure, these young boys is going to blossom, and they're going to do what we know they can do.
Exactly.
Now, you're a luxury. You know, we'd love to have you, but don't get it twisted. We don't need you. You know,
it's a negotiation tactic, yeah. and I don't fault Poles for doing it, just like I don't fault Jalen for doing his thing. They both are posturing and doing their due diligence.
And then the fact that he allowed him to go out and seek a trade, and no one was willing to give what they thought, he's gonna be like, now look, Jalen, we allowed you to go out and seek a trade. Mm-hmm. Nobody in that top 35 range was willing to give up a pick for you, so this is why we're at this price range that we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody was willing to pay either the pick or the price for you at what you was asking.
Right.
So you got to come down. You got to be realistic with us. We're willing to work with you, but we're not going to be stupid either.
Right. And he said, and that's the thing. Just come down a little bit. They'll probably meet somewhere in between. You know what I mean? I don't like Jalen said, he's already kind of backed off. He's like, yeah, I'm a top guy, but I'm not trying to break the bank. I'm not trying to do this or that, but I do want a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
So get your money, man. I want him to get his money.
Yeah,
and at
facts.
The same time, I want Poles to be able to have some flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we don't want you to pull a Fuller here where, you know, you get paid and then you disappear, bro, and you out here getting burnt every damn play. Like, Jesus, bro. Come on, fam. So we hoping that don't happen. But, you know, here's to better and brighter days. Now, what is up with this damn coaching staff, man? And it's the second coach that's been fired for conduct with the HR is involved for detrimental workplace conduct. What are they doing, man? Up in there, they looking at porn on their phones.
I have no idea,
what are
bro.
They doing? They trying to bang staff
on their work phone.
Yeah, are they smashing staff? What is they doing? Like, on the up and up, man. This is the second one that's been walked out in 6 weeks. The hell is going on up there? To add insult
to
injury.
Nobody even knows, bro.
Right, and they keeping it real hush-hush. But, man, something got to be going on to where I'm thinking staffers is getting piped down by these coaches, man, and shit is just going left or people finding out about it or what. Who knows? But this ain't making no damn sense. None whatsoever.
It's not, bro. It's not. It's not. Yeah, the Allen Williams situation was weird. Now you got the running backs coach. HR was involved. Yeah,
man.
Bro, I don't know.
Our HR is looking into it. Like, what? Okay, I mean, if you say so, but, you know, whatever. This whole situation is just weird, man. But, hey. And then he goes from, Justin, he has no injury report on Justin Fields. You know, it's he's day-to-day. But then you Bajan's going to be a starter. What? Wait, huh? Like, make it make sense here, man. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's like he going up there and just winging shit, man. Like, Like, okay, bro, this makes no sense whatsoever. None. So
that man still hurt, dude. I don't know what. And like, no competitive advantage to it. Like, he still hurt.
Yeah, you know, and that's a fact. You know, you see how fat and swollen his hand was the week before when they played against the Raiders. You know, how fat and swollen his hand was.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, everybody has so much to say about his shades or sunglasses that he wore on the sideline. Like, it's cool when Jim McMahon do it. You know what I'm saying? It's cool when Jim McMahon do it. But when Justin is on the sidelines doing the same thing, it's a problem, right? All right, and, whatever.
And Rodney Harrison, I'm just going to say Rodney Harrison is a clown. You know, at the end of that game Sunday night, he went crazy talking about Justin having them sunglasses on. If that's me, if I'm the general manager, I hate that. I don't want him on my team doing that type of stuff. He's not bought in. He's not locked in. He's not doubting. Bro, like, and Tony Dungy was, like, sitting there. He's looking at him like, well, I mean, this is the young people nowadays, man. Like, right. They, you know, Dungy's like, I got some kids, man. They wear shades in the house sometimes. They always got shades on. Like, what? You know, it's not that big of a deal, you know. But this is a guy, you know.
I
find that hard to understand, man. Where you want to just, you know, you look for opportunities to criticize somebody, you know. And man, just standing there, he doing his thing. He's helping that dude Tyson Bagent. All reports is that he's helping him. This, that, and the third. You know, Chris Collinsworth. He did his
throat fest.
Stabs at Justin throughout the week as well.
This throat fest.
I'm gonna get back to that coaching thing though, but yeah, you know, just you know, and some of that is backstabbing, I believe, by Luke Getsy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna be real because Luke Getsy knows he's got pressure on him, mm-hmm. right? If he don't start making things happen with this offense, people are gonna start looking at him and saying, okay, you got to be the problem, bro, because you got running backs. And all of the running backs are good. All of them can get yardage. You got Justin Fields who can throw the ball. He can run. You got DJ Moore. You know, what about your offense is not working out? What about your in-game adjustments is not working out? And right now, he's been skating along and kind of dodging that pressure. But it's going to start building, and it's going to start leaning on him. So he's backstabbing Justin. You know, when Chris Collinsworth made that statement during the game that Justin, they're going to have, you know, forever, for however long they have Bajan in these games, they're going to make Justin study these film.
Ain't shit he can learn.
And learn what he should be doing. And listen,
then he threw a pick.
Immediately after that, bro, he threw a pick. The very next play, bro. The very next play. And I'm sitting here like, there's nothing that this dude can teach Justin Fields on a football field, bro. Nothing. So, you know, to me, that's a backstab. That's a little bit of a stab. And I know it's Getsy. It's got to be somebody in there. And the reason I say Getsy is because he's the one that has the pressure on him. Mm. Flus can fire Getsy and kind of get away. He can skate with his job this year, right?
I think they're going to keep Flus, to be totally honest.
I think they will, too.
After hearing the glowing endorsements, but I think they're going to fire Getsy.
Yeah, I think
he's done.
And he knows that. Done. That's why he threw a little bit in. You know, that came from Getsy's mouth, I believe. And it's to say that, you know, Justin's not up to where he needs to be in order for this offense to work properly.
They're going to keep Justin. They're going to fire Getsy. And
wait, you know, somebody on 670 went off.
Yeah, Burn, I think it was.
He went off, dude. And I'm glad somebody in the media didn't just keep pushing the same shit because they see it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't coach Justin Fields, I'm dead serious when I say this. You can't coach Justin Fields. Something is wrong with you, bro.
Yeah.
Like, something is literally, like, I get that the kid isn't perfect. No quarterback is perfect. He's not perfect. You can say that about anybody, bro. No, especially these young ones, bro. But you telling me you can't work with a dude like look what he's done. Like, people forgot, like, what he did the last 2 weeks. He threw, like, 8 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he gets hurt in the Minnesota game.
Everybody forgets.
Minnesota defense just and everybody forget. Tyson Bagent came out there, and I like Tyson Bagent, though. And it's like they make you don't even like the guy, even though you like the guy. You just, what you don't like is his fanboys.
But you know what's crazy? Like, up until Justin got hurt, he only had 10 pass attempts. 10 pass attempts before he got hurt. 10 pass attempts in that Minnesota game, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we basing that off of? That was such a small sample size.
I don't care. It fits whatever.
But you're not even paying attention to what he did the two prior weeks before
exactly.
that. 8 touchdowns, almost, what, 750 yards and 1 interception?
Yeah. Brock Purdy loses another one. What about that? You don't hear them talking about that, though. He lost 3 straight and 3 miserable performances. 3 straight miserable performances he lost. Cleveland, Minnesota, and now Cincinnati.
Yep.
3 miserable back-to-back-to-back performances by Brock Purdy. But you won't hear shit about that. We're going to hear about Justin Fields having a horrible game after 10 passing attempts against the Minnesota Vikings.
And you're going to hear about him wearing shades on the sideline.
Make it make sense.
I don't know, man. I don't get this fan base. I really don't get it at all, bro. And that's why I've been chilling, because there's so much stupidity, you know. The thing about it, like the Tyson Bagent thing, like I think he's a fine backup. I think he's a good guy to have as a backup. You feel comfortable with him being in there, kind of like Josh McNown when you had Cutler. You was like, if Cutler go down a couple games, got Tyson Bagent.
We got a shot.
We got a shot to win the game. We ain't out there putting what's that window? The Ty Collins out there, bro. We feel like we got a shot. And beyond that, that's how I feel, dude. And it's like, I don't know what people thought was gonna happen, right? It's clear as day. I'm talking about from a physical standpoint, from a talent standpoint, you gotta have a certain level of talent. That's why Brock Purdy is starting to falter, because sure, he has that neck up game and he can do all the right things, but at some point you need to be a superior fucking athlete with a cannon that can fit balls in the windows and no other person
limited.
Can. At quarterback, you're physically limited.
So when
the shit gets when it gets tight, when the teams are coming at you and you ain't got a guy like Justin that can have Hassan Reddick grabbing him by his neck and freaking break it off and then run for 80 yards, you're gonna suffer, especially in this type of team that we got, where you have flaws and you don't have the system like you do in the 49ers, where you can just have the guy dump the ball off to Deebo Samuel and he takes it 80 yards. We don't really have that. We got DJ Moore. So when you got a limited quarterback and a limited team, you're going to get exposed. And I don't understand how people didn't see that. The guy doesn't have a strong arm. You can show me all the miles per hour he threw the ball. I'm talking about pushing the ball down the field. Some people can throw the ball 70 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. Some people can't, bro. Like, that's it. It don't matter how hard you can throw the ball for 10 yards. Can you throw that motherfucker 80 yards? Justin can throw the ball 80 yards.
And it's going to look pretty. It's not going to look like a wounded duck.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like a wounded duck.
Flying through a broken sky.
Shout out to
the
Clemson game. Yeah. And you don't have that ability. You don't run 4-4. You're not 6'3", 240 and break tackles and run for 1,000 yards. And when the pressure got put on, I knew that was going to happen. And this ain't a knock to the guy. I just knew this shit was going to happen. And people act like they didn't know it was going to happen. Like, oh my God, he's just going to go out there and beat Joe Montana. He's not. The likelihood of him even being Brock Purdy is very, very slim.
Yeah.
Those people, that shit never happens, dude. It's a nice story. I heard Kurt Warner say that. He was talking to 6'7". He was like, people always like to use my name, but it's not fair to the people that they use it, because I'm rare. I understand my story. I was putting up tomato cans in the grocery store.
Right, but what they also fail to realize is that Kurt Warner was a fucking All-American, too.
Yeah.
And
he was playing
American.
With Hall of Famers.
So, you know, he was an All-American where he was at, you know, and was getting NFL looks where he was at, but he didn't think that he was going to. People forget that Kurt Warner was actually Brett Favre's backup and quit football. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't bring that up. They act like he was just discovered in a damn grocery store and just came out. No, he was Brett Favre. He was actually Brett Favre's backup in Green Bay. That's what a lot of y'all don't forget. He was actually picked up out of northern Iowa, okay, and was put on the Green Bay Packers roster. All right, he was Brett Favre's backup, and then something happened back at home, and he quit. He just didn't come back. That was that. So let's keep it a buck, y'all. Come on now, this ain't just some run of the mill type ordeal. That like Will said, that shit is very rare, very very rare. Yeah.
Mm. It's a rare situation for it to happen, and. And for people to expect that, you're expecting yourself to fail. Then you're expecting everything to fail, right? Because when it doesn't happen, now you wanna go kill yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, or you got people, yeah, you got people, you know, knee jerk, like I said, this is knee jerk reactions. These are people that really don't understand the game of football on the level that you should in order to understand it. You know, think about this. Tyson Bagent. Nothing against the kid, man. I promise you, nothing against him. I want him to do well, right? Every time he steps on the football field, especially in a Bears jersey, I want him to succeed somehow, some way. But let's be real about it, right? People always say, let's be real about Justin. Let's be real about Bagent. I hear people saying, well, he didn't do anything for us to lose again. The dude threw two interceptions. Should have been four. And he had a fumble lost.
That's five turnovers, folks.
He had three turnovers. It could have easily been five turnovers that he had in that game. On you know, Velus Jones, true enough, we've been on Velus from the get, right? From him fumbling punts, we've called him out for it. He dropped that touchdown. It still was in his hands. But look at that ball that was thrown.
Hit him in the nuts.
Look at the ball that was thrown, bro. he had his man beat by about 10 yards on that play.
And then
he had to slow down.
Had to hit the air brakes.
Turn around. He fell down because he had to slow down. He had to hit the air brakes.
His momentum carried him backwards.
He fell down, and that's why he dropped the ball. Now, maybe that's not why he dropped the ball.
He should have caught the ball anyway.
He should have caught it anyway, right? But couldn't your quarterback make a better throw than that to a wide open receiver? And let's not get it twisted. The Bears were at their 40-yard line when he threw that ball. You can't push the ball down the field 40 yards to a wide open guy.
Baby arm.
Come on, man. The ball that he threw across the middle that my man jumped up and touched. Did you see how that ball was fluttering? That was a 15-yard pass. That ball was fluttering through the air.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, and it's not a knock to this guy, bro.
It ain't a knock, man. He's
limited. Like, it's the truth, people like to just criticize Justin for shit. And then the things you criticize Justin for, let's keep it real. These are things that he can improve. See, this is the thing that some of you guys don't understand about the NFL. Yeah. I want my players to have the shit I can't coach. I want my guy to have a cannon for arm. I want my guy to be able to run a 4-3. I want my guy to be able to just make plays out of nowhere. All that, the shit that y'all talking about, that y'all making such a big deal, or, well, he needs to get the ball out quicker, or he needs to be a better anticipatory thrower. I can coach a guy to do that. I can develop him. I can pour into that player. And then eventually the game just slows down and he's able to do that stuff. But the other stuff I can't teach. I want a player with the stuff I can't teach. So Tyson Bagent, let's say, may be able to do that a little, maybe that little stuff may be better. I won't even say 100% because he got sacked too and he threw picks too. So maybe you might think he can do that stuff a little bit better, but he doesn't have the stuff that you can't teach. He can't drive that ball. Like, go back to that Washington game and watch some of those passes Justin was throwing to him. He was driving the ball down the field vertically, not horizontally, vertically.
Right?
In the tight windows. You can't teach that. So you don't pour into a guy that to do the stuff that you can't. He do the stuff that I can. He does the coach's stuff, but he can't drive the ball down the field. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the intuition. No, you keep that guy, bro. Like, this is the most insane part to me, bro. Like, these people, like, literally do not understand ball. it's clear as day.
Yeah. Obvious. And just to piggyback off that, you know, like you said, the same things they criticize Justin for, they make excuses for Bagent on the back end. You can't have it both ways, folks.
No, you can't.
You can't have it both ways. You know, so again, a lot of y'all are telling on yourself with these takes, with these hot takes that you're giving out there and throwing out there. You know, it's just obvious that you didn't rock with the kid from day one. No one wants to see Tyson Bagent fail. Again, he has a Bears uniform on, and like we said, we're not bagging on him in any way. We want him to succeed, but he is limited, and that's what we've been telling you. Don't expect the moon and the stars and then come up with dirt, and then you get upset. It is what it is. I mean, no one's giving you moon rocks over here. You know what I'm saying? Stop smoking the moon rocks, people. Expecting something, expecting a different result. You know, when we telling you in reality, a lot of y'all motherfuckers are not rooted in reality. And that's the honest to God truth. You know, you're expecting some magical story to happen and it's not happening. And then you get pissed off when you told it ain't happening. And then when you see it don't happen. But the defense didn't help him out. You didn't care when the defense didn't help Justin out.
When Justin was putting up 38 points by himself and losing the game 40-38, no one cared, bro.
No one cared.
When they gave away, and when the team gave away a 25-point lead the other day.
Yeah. No one cared. You know? No one cared about the fact that Luke Getsy is terrible at his job. You didn't care.
Allen Williams was giving up stinkers all last year, bro. Like, we had that stretch of, like, 7 games where they was scoring like 30 points a game and they was still losing. And then they bring up his record. His record. I'm like, bro, you should not. Bro, I think the Miami Dolphins game, didn't he throw for like 3 touchdowns or ran for like another touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. He literally scored 4 touchdowns all by himself. That should be the game. He scored 28 points by himself, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And they still lost.
Yeah.
He did the same thing versus the Eagles. Did the same thing versus the Lions.
Minnesota. And,
you know, Minnesota.
Yep.
Washington. I mean, what the fuck you what more do y'all want from him? Is what
I don't
I'm
know
asking.
What they want. It's crazy. Don't make sense.
So
the Bears extended Andrew Billings.
Oh, that was good. That's a good move.
Yeah, that's a good one because interior D line.
The run defense has been good. It has been much better.
Mm. Yeah, he's running down the throat.
You know what I mean? So that's good.
That's a real good signing. That's a real good signing. I like that. With Montez Sweat, hopefully they can bring back Ngakoue, dude. They might be starting to put together a decent defensive line.
Yeah.
And we still got the boy Javon Dexter and
we still got Jonathan Ngakoue out there too. So him and Sweat, you know, with Dexter and Billings in the middle. Oh man. Now you might be cooking with grease.
Yeah, you might be putting together a nice D line, bro.
Yeah,
man, the Saints game. I know we ain't got that much time because I got to get up out of here. But this goes back. This is what we kind of just saying about Tyson Bagent. I hope the Bears beat the Saints. I hope he looks good. You know, I don't think we will.
No, we won't Saints. Because the Saints have one of the top defenses in the NFL. So, I'm just going to tell you now, don't expect a fucking miracle, people. It's probably going to be much of the same as what we saw in the Charger game. That's that. So, hey, I'm just going to be realistic with y'all.
Yeah, and if the Bears want to win this game, this is what they got to do. They got to run the ball. You got to keep Tyson Bagent upright, and you got to play some defense. If you can't, if you let a team walk up and down the field like they did last game against the Bears, I mean, I think the quarterback was what Justin Herbert was. What he start out 16-17 something like that.
He completed his first 15 passes.
Okay, first, you know.
Basically what Justin did versus the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But people worship him for it, though. And, you know, and Justin had a, you know, every dog has his day in Chicago, I guess, right?
Yeah.
For Justin's day, so, you know, but, you know, that's what they got to do. They got to run the ball. You got to run the ball. You got Roshan back. You got, you know, run the ball with them dudes, man. Run the ball. Take the pressure off that dude. Because if you put the ball in his hands, he will turn the ball over. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. He should have had 5 picks. I mean, 5 turnovers last game. So the less you put it in his hand and depend on him to throw you to a victory, the better. I know Getsy probably wants to make him look good and make it look like his offense is hitting on all cylinders. But run the ball, establish the ground game, work off the play action, keep it short and simple for the kid, and hopefully, you know, the Bears can stick around and maybe squeeze one out somehow, some way.
Yeah. That's the best bet for the Bears, like you said, dude. Run the ball. Hopefully they improve the defensive line and they can actually, like, stop someone. That's the best hope they got, man. And the same thing with Bagent. I hated that people did what they did, bro, because they placed unrealistic expectations on them. That's probably the biggest thing that I don't like. Because I liked the kid, and I was like, this is going to go bad, bro.
Yeah.
Because, so, like you said, keep them, stay ahead of this. We don't need to have 3-12s. If we got 3-12s, we're done. We're done. We're done. We got to have 3rd and shorts, because that's what we got to have. If we stay ahead of the sticks, and we can stop the Saints and get a couple turnovers. Kind of like how we beat the Raiders. You got to have the same form. You got to get turnovers, run the ball well, and keep the game simple for Beijing.
That's it.
That's the keys.
Keys to the games.
Yep.
I wonder if they'll wake up one day and go ahead and pull a Mark Davis and just ax everybody. Not everybody, but just wake up and ax Getsy ass. That'd be the most joyous day for me. I just want to see the motherfucker get fired and get up out of here. Like, man, go pull that shit elsewhere.
He good for the rest of the year, man. I wish they could, but they ain't got who what you gonna do? Put Janaco in there?
Fuck it. It can't be no worse.
It can. You know? I think it can.
Shit.
I think it can. I actually think it can.
But hey.
Yeah, man. That's all I got, man. Just stay in there, man. Hang in there, man.
Hang in there with us, Bears fans. We I don't even want to say we right around the corner because we not. We still got a way to go. But just hang in there.
Yeah, we got a lot to figure out, dude. At this point in the season, you evaluating stuff. You're evaluating players. We need to see Justin come back, see how he plays. We need to see Braxton Jones come back, see how he plays, see how Sweat plays.
Yep.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson plays. We got a bunch of young players on the team, see if they can continue to develop right. Dexter. So we got reasons to watch. But it's more or less for seeing if these young guys take a step. Not That's what we got to look for.
Yeah, and please, man, please, whatever y'all are doing in Hallis Hall, the coaches, just stay off your computers, stay off your tablets. If it ain't film that you're looking at, don't go to no websites.
Don't be harassing no subordinates. don't be trying to get your rubbed out by the masseuse.
If you hop in the elevator, if you in the elevator and the door opens and a woman's getting on, get off the elevator just in case. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Come on. We got to go back to the basics now. You know what I mean? Keep these guys out of harm's way, man. I mean, God, dog. The coach is falling like flies to HR, bro.
You know what that means when guys falling flies to HR. You know what's going on. Y'all out there tripping. Y'all tweaking, bro. That's all I got. Keep it professional.
Please.
Peace.
Peace.